It has been quite a year for our bank accounts. Let's take stock of 2025 and our money. Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Overall, South Dakota's economic growth slowed in the year that was. The farm sector struggled with low prices, federal funding shifted and shrunk, business leaders faced tariff pressures and uncertainties, and consumers faced some moderate inflation. What are we to do with all of that? Let's ask Rick Kaler. He is an international leader in the field of financial therapy. He's a wealth manager at Kaler Financial, and he's the author of many books, including The Financial Wisdom of Ebenezer Scrooge.
Somebody said, what's your expectation for 26, or what would you like in 2026? And I'm thinking I would like, for the first time in 3 years, not to say at the end of 2026, I'm so glad this year is over. Yeah, it's been a lot of transition, for me, especially with my career, with what's resulted in bringing in some new partners in my financial planning firm. In fact, I just had coffee with a former colleague and said it required this transition, especially the last 8 months, has required bringing out every tool that I have ever learned for self-management.
One of the things that you write about is the emotional intensity of change. And how I that resonated, because it can be, you know, you're trying to be involved in a transition, whether it's a business transition or a family transition. You're doing all the things, you're making all the plans, you're organizing all the stuff, and sometimes it can be easy to overlook the emotional intensity of what you're going through because you might not have time to pause for that.
Yeah, I call it bookmarking.
Okay.
With intense emotions, we have the choice to deep six them, which in IFS speak is exiling that and just putting it away. And the theory is there's parts of ourselves that when they get wounded, other parts just say, let's exile them. Let's get rid of them. We never really do. Or we can bookmark that and say, listen, I don't have the time right now to really fully experience these feelings. I have a saber-toothed tiger bearing down on me right now. So I've got to take care of survival. Mm-hmm. And I'll circle back. I'll come back to you at some time in the future and give those emotions the time that they need and deserve.
I'm curious about the difference between what I hear some people say, I can compartmentalize this, versus bookmarking it, because bookmarking sounds really wise to me. Compartmentalizing to me always has felt like a segmenting of the self. Like, I'm not a great compartmentalization person, because sometimes you don't go back and open up that box.
I would say that bookmarking is compartmentalizing with intention.
Okay.
I think some of the same dynamic is involved, which is I'm going to choose not to pay attention, or I'm going to choose to dissociate, in so many words, from that feeling and emotion in this moment.
Yeah.
But my intention is I'm coming back. So I think compartmentalizing probably is necessary, whether we're going to exile them or we're going to come back in a bookmark fashion and visit them.
Yeah.
But it's still setting them aside.
Before we get to, you know, returning to the bookmark in the future, so you can sort of process the emotional intensity of that, there are certain factors that you point out about transition and what's happening. And the ending of one thing, and then there's a beginning of something else, and you talk about this neutral zone where that is where learning and growth happens. Tell me more about that.
That's in the Stages of Change. Bridges wrote the seminal book on that. And then Susan Bradley of the Financial Transitions Institute has expanded upon it that there's four stages. First is anticipation of the change, then the ending, then this big area of passage. If I had a little chart, I would hold it up for you. And then the new beginning. And
Okay.
it's this area of passage that is pretty intense. It's kind of from a biblical reference, a wandering in the wilderness where there's lots of confusion, lots of unknowing, lots of uncertainty. And it typically is not a comfortable place to be in. This is a transition of any type. Now, obviously, a financial transitionist, and that's something I'm certified in. I'm supposed to understand it. I'm certainly right now experiencing it, but that's a transition financially, obviously. But we have transitions in everything, and we're always in every stage of various transitions. But it's the passage that can be so mucky before the new normal, before the new beginning emerges from that.
How do we show up for that in times of financial transition to make the most of the passage?
Obviously, if we're going through passage with some awareness and intentionality, that can make the passage a little, I hate to use the word easier, but a little more informed, maybe a little less scary,
More navigable.
maybe a little bit more. I mean, to your point, I'm in passage right now, myself. Like, what is the new normal going to be? I've never been necessarily a partner, not in full control of a company. And I've had a lot of people say, well, what's kind of next? And I said, I don't know. I'm so engaged in the ending. And there's an idea out there. I've heard it. I heard it in the gym. Oh, we heard you retired, Rick. No, I didn't retire. I'm still a partner. But it's different. I've never been in this place before. And I don't know exactly what's next. I know I'm not operating a company anymore. I'm not in the trenches with employee issues and all that, for which I'm very thankful. But I'm not sure where precisely what next is. But my personality type is one that doesn't embrace change, that change is chaos, and chaos is a deep fear that I have, as opposed to other personalities that they're like, oh, chaos, good, bring it on. This is great, lots of opportunity. That's not the way I respond.
Can we go back to something you said about, people saying, "Hey, Kaler, I think you retired." I think a lot of people can resonate when a transition happens and people say, "Oh, you're not, you don't have," in some ways you could read it as people saying, "You don't have the relevance that you had, before," for people who are retiring or for people whose business or have changed. That can set off some emotions in us about our own relevance.
There's a part of me that fears not being relevant. I've been well aware of that part. And then it's also accepting that relevancy changes. And what is the definition of being relevant? Well, if it's running a company and being the decision maker on everything, well, that relevance has changed. And I think the question, as I'm thinking about this, Lori, comes to, am I relevant as a human? Because what I do, I confuse what I do with who I am. And that's a big one. Resolving that is a lot of therapy dollars.
And people in their financial decisions, that's all tied up with then how you spend, save, invest, plan your finances and your financial future.
One of the money categories is my self-worth equals my net worth. That's money status. And so that can be absolutely tied up in what we do, what we earn, how much we have. A huge amount of self-worth can be mistakenly applied from that. From the exterior things. So that's a big shift, but it's a huge financial it shows up in finances all the time.
So you're going through the transition with intention. You're applying all the self-management tools that you've learned over time. And then you have to go back to that bookmark at some point and say, it's time for me to deal with the emotional intensity of this now that I've reached a place of somewhat stability. And that might be just the weekend, or it might be the end of the year, or it might be longer than you thought before you went back to that bookmark. How do you do that? How do you return to that space and process it?
Great question. For me, it is doing intensive retreats, intensive therapeutic retreats. And I actually just spent 5 days doing that. For me, a weekend isn't going to work, especially if the weekend is left to me to orchestrate. Because there's too many other, I'll be doing a podcast, writing a column. But taking time in a therapeutic setting, which there's lots of these opportunities, gives me the time to be very intentional, and I'm focused on one thing for 5 days. It used to be said that a week of group therapy is equal to a year of one-on-one therapy.
Really?
Because you get to deal with it. You're not going home. The hour isn't done, and then you go back to your life. You're going to have 40 of those hours consecutively. And so you can get to a lot more interior work. So I have done that, and I will probably do several more.
I know in journaling therapy, there is this idea that if you return to something every single day for 15 minutes, that it will go much faster than if you say you did your journaling work on Saturday mornings. But if you showed up again and again and wrote about the trauma or the experience through with supervised therapy in many cases, but sometimes on your own, depending on what it is, that daily practice does make things move a lot faster.
That is phenomenal. You brought that up because I just did a podcast with a psychoanalytic psychotherapist in Dublin,
Okay.
and she explained to me the difference, which I didn't know. But a psychoanalytic psychotherapist has two sessions a week with their clients. She says in the first one we get all of the updating out of the way. The second one, there's no updating to do. And now we do the real therapy. And I thought, wow. And that's very Freudian, right? I thought, that's amazing. And a psychoanalytic therapist has daily sessions. So there's no place to hide. And that's the idea you just brought up, was the daily journaling would be probably more effective than once a week. It's the same thing with financial therapy. The closer your financial therapy sessions are to each other, the more progress you're going to make.
That is Rick Kaler. He is a wealth manager at Kaler Financial. He's also the author of several books on financial therapy. That's our conversation for today. We hope that it served you. From all of us here at SDPB, I'm Lori Walsh. Thank you for listening.